Welcome to Next Level Christianity, a podcast designed to teach biblical truth, help Christians apply it to their daily lives, and gain true clarity of what it means to follow Jesus. Our churches and Christian communities are continuously being influenced by cultural and worldly views, and few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is John Alkier. Please join me for important conversations where biblical truth and life application collide. I hope these episodes help equip and motivate you to take your Christian faith to the next level. So grab your Bible and join me in the conversation. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm your host, John Alkier, here at Next Level Christianity Podcast. Hope everybody's doing well. This Sunday afternoon, it is Sunday, it is fall, beautiful, beautiful part of the season coming at us, and here we are, episode 31, just blessed, amazing, started this journey back January of 2019, and just have evolved to this point, and we are set to do our 31st episode, and I just want to say to the subscribers and the regular listeners, as always, every show, I just want to say thank you. You have a lot of choices of podcasts. You got a lot of people to listen to, and you're here and you're listening to this, and we just totally appreciate it. And our statistics through the podcast platform say that by far the biggest audience is a millennial audience and young adults, and there's nothing more better, just blessed to be able to share the gospel, share the good news and the bad news and scripture with the young adults early in their journey as Christians. Because you're not listening to this podcast unless you know Christ and you're a Christian. Nobody seeks for God, so maybe you're on there and maybe God's stirring there, drawing you, and you're here. But for the most part, we're talking to people who have put their faith in Christ and young adults. And we talk about all the time, the modern church, the charismatic church dominates the cities and areas of population. And most probably sitting in churches that are not speaking truth, not speaking the gospel, not sharing the scriptures. And are getting these Tony Robbins 5 points on how to be a better, person or how to live a better life or whatever the case may be or whatever you're hearing. So we're glad we're able to pump the truth of the Gospels out here on this platform to you. And hopefully it's edifying you and hopefully you're sharing the information and you're learning and it's getting you in the Bible. When my wife and I talked about this thing a lot and when we did some of these episodes together, it was just the motivation is to get you in your Bible. We're bringing out the Bible every episode in a powerful way, and we're just hopefully encouraging the listeners to get in there and see it. And we reference these scriptures on every episode on our social media sites, which is on Instagram and Facebook, which is at Next Level Equip is our handle, and you can see every verse that we reference in every episode. So hopefully digging into the Bible and learning and getting and grasping some of this. So again, glad you're here. If you are on an iPhone and you are on iTunes, I need you to go down and rate the podcast, please. Hit some stars, make a comment. That would be great. Tonight or this afternoon, we're going to talk about a subject that I don't think we hear very much about. And you guys have heard me say this a lot in the gospel, right? I don't think the gospel's preached hardly at all in the modern church. And especially the bad news of the gospel. So you have the good news and then you have the bad news. And we've talked about that. We had an episode on that. Tonight, we're going to really focus on repentance. What does it mean to repent? And what does that look like? And it's a word that, again, probably not hearing in the church at all, if ever. I don't think in the modern church, as much as I've attended that over the many years that I've been a Christian or thought I was a Christian, never heard repent, never heard really the gospel, honestly. And so today it was something on you know, just Sunday reading my Bible, going through the Bible, and caught Luke is where we're going to be. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. So if you have your Bible app, get on there. If you have your Bibles in front of you, get on there. If you're out walking or exercising or driving in your car and you can't get to it, it's going to be, again, on the social sites, what verses we pull out of and what section, and then you can follow up later. But Luke 13, 1 through 9, Jesus here is teaching on repentance in the scriptures. And we pick it up early on where somebody tells Jesus about the Galileans killed in the temple by Pilate and his orders during their sacrifice. They were doing their sacrifice in the temple, and Roman soldiers came in and killed them. And so, and that's where we catch where it says in verse 1 when it opens up. Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus says to them in verse 2, were these greater sinners than all others? And the answer is no. Their sins were not greater to cause them their lives in the temple. Their sins weren't greater. It didn't change why they were killed. And then in verse 3, Jesus says, unless you all repent, you will circle likewise, you will also perish. And then he asks them, and then he turns and he asks them about a situation that happened where about 18 people, it says, were killed in Siloam when a tower collapsed on them. And this was an area just below Jerusalem. There's a well-known pool there in Siloam. And he asked them, were they worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? So he asked this inquisitive question again about, hey, these people died. This tower collapsed on it. It was just a terrible situation. But let me ask you, were they greater culprits than all the people of Jerusalem? Just like he asked about the Galileans that were murdered in the temple, were their sins any different than anybody else? Jesus affirms the answer as you read on. He says no. And then he repeats the call of repentance. He does it again. He says, I tell you in verse 5, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise, again, circle likewise, perish. And then he goes into the fig tree parable. And he says, and he began telling the parable, a man, this is verse 6 through 9, and a man had a fig tree which had been planted in a vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on the fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if it doesn't, cut it down. Now here he's referring to God is wanting to cut this fruit down. It is not producing fruit, and God is going, enough's enough. His patience is running out, and it kind of shows this parallel where Jesus is interceding for the Father, saying, no, give it more time. Give it a little more time. Let me do some work. Let me see if we can get this right, and it'll produce some fruit. And it's just a clear picture here, folks. God's patience and desire for judgment is running out. It's running out of time. And I think it's interesting when you read this scripture, there's a 3-year reference And I don't know, I haven't looked this up, and I didn't see any commentary referencing this in multiple commentaries. But the three-year reference is interesting because we know Jesus' ministry was 3 years before he was put on the cross. And that three-year reference was interesting as he's interceding for the Father who is ready to do judgment. But this section is clearly telling us God's wrath is upon all those not of his sheep. And then we look at John 10, Jesus talks about his sheep. And we knew as he was talking to the Jews, they said, the reason why you don't hear, the reason why you don't understand is because you're not my sheep. And so this is referring to what we've talked about a lot, which is God's chosen people from the very foundation of the world, his sheep. And there's wrath upon all those who aren't his sheep. He's running out of patience. The message of repent and live, or if not, you're going to perish. Both on earth and eternally, the two deaths that we hear about in scriptures, we're all, let's face it, we're all going to die, right? Death and taxes is the two most guaranteed things in life, as you hear. But we're all going to die. So we're all going to have one death. The question is, are you going to have two deaths eternally? And the Jews at that time were warned, like we all are today, of his judgment to come for those who don't repent. Jesus warned that generation, okay? In Matthew 23, at the end of Matthew 23, he condemns, he basically calls out the Jews of that generation for all that they had done and all that they stand for. And in Matthew 24, he explains the judgment that's going to come upon them. It's powerful. I haven't done an episode on it, but I want to, and it's going to take a long time of research, but it's going to be a powerful episode. But in 70 AD, after Jesus was on the throne and ascended, in 70 AD, it came to completion where there was a slaughter of what is reported to 1 million Jews and the second temple completely destroyed, just as Jesus prophesied it being, just as he warned of it being in Matthew 24. Now the question I ask today in these verses of his examples of people who died, and you would say, holy cow, man, they were in the temple, they were doing good, they were doing their sacrifices, and the Romans came in there and killed them. What a terrible situation, and this collapse of the tower. But we know of these people he's referring to, these people were non-believers. They did not have faith in Christ. They hadn't repented and turned from their sins. So they were no different than anybody else, and they deserve what? To perish. They deserve death. But the question I ask tonight on this, is Jesus just talking to the Jews? Does this just apply to the Pharisees? But not to those living today around us who do not believe. Because we don't hear the message, the bad news, as I talk about. We don't hear the bad news of the gospel. We don't hear about the judgment hand of Christ that was upon the generation in Matthew 24, the Jews, and was horrifically described in 70 AD of what happened. And we know through history it was horrific. And we know Jesus was on the throne because he ascended to heaven to the right hand of the Father, where he sits today with all authority over heaven and earth. And he brings judgment to the Jewish nation. And he brings the Roman army to come in and slaughter and starve and a somewhat 4 to 6 month just horrific death of these religious people. And this isn't just a message of repentance for them. It wasn't just only for them, but we're good. Because if we look in the scriptures, we can move over to Matthew chapter 3, verse 7, and we have John the Baptist, who was prophesied from the Old Testament to come, and here he is. And he comes and he sees the Pharisees walking up And he says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to come, or who warned you to flee the wrath to come? What was he referring to, the wrath to come? Very, very evident based on Jesus' prophesying of what was to come to that generation that happened in 70 AD. He was talking about the destruction of the second temple. And John was warning them of that. He says then, therefore bear fruit in keeping with what? Repentance. Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Well, we know that faith in Christ produces fruit. We know when James says in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Your faith in Christ and your repentance and your shameful of your sinful ways and moving away from those and turning from those, turning to Christ and living for Christ produces what? Fruit. So we see the bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And we know in 1 John, if you go into 1 John, and I think it's chapter 2, I'm not looking this right now, but I think it's 1 John 2, he talks about, if you say you're not a sinner, you're a liar. We're all sinners, but we're supposed to not sin, right? We're supposed to be sanctified. The Holy Spirit's doing its work, and we are working to be more and more like Jesus Christ, who is sinless. But it says in 1 John that we are to confess our sins and we'll be purified from those. It's an ongoing thing. It's not a repentance one day when things weren't going well and you're like, repent and turn, and then you don't ever do it again. It's a continued process, and we're going to mess up and we're going to need to confess to Christ. Even though he paid for it, it is a call of an ongoing shameful repentance of our ways or our sinful nature that is naturally in us. And even though we are of Christ and we are with Christ, we still are men and women who had evil in our heart from the very beginning, as God said in Genesis. And so we will always struggle. We will never be sinless. So it's a repentance process. We have to repent. And John the Baptist is therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And then if we look in verse 10, Matthew 3:10, he says, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Well, we heard the same message about the fig tree from Jesus in Luke 13. And here we are in the front in Matthew with John the Baptist saying the same thing. The judgment hand of God is upon us. And again, I've mentioned this, the gospel is made up of both good news and the bad news. And as I've said many, many times, the modern church doesn't share this. They hardly talk about the good news of the gospel. They never speak of the bad news. And this message was not just pointed at the Pharisees. It was proof of what judgment was coming to all those who don't repent, even today. And if we look at what Paul tells us, if you look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, he says, For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us, circle us, who are being saved, it is the power of God. Well, I want to challenge you in there. The word of the cross is the gospel, is foolishness to those who don't hear it, don't believe it. And what about those people? What are they doing? They are perishing. We were all perishing. We are all heading for destruction and judgment unless we repent and put our faith in Christ. That is the good and bad news of the gospel, plain and simple, black and white. And the us, as I told you to circle in 1 Corinthians 1:18, is the chosen. It's the people that God had chosen to give mercy and the free gift of salvation to save you so that you're no longer condemned, you're no longer in judgment, and you don't have to worry about destruction or the second death, because we all are going to die. But we just don't want to be part of the second death or be a part of the wrath of God. And we know we have no relationship with God without Jesus. We have zero. Why? We're depraved men and women. We are evil, wicked, sinful, rotten rebels of God. And only through the mercy and only through Christ and faith in Christ do we get the gift of salvation. Do we get the gift of grace? Nothing we deserve, nothing we earn, nothing we can say, do, nothing of our ability. God-driven, God-choosing. And if we look at Ephesians chapter 2, Paul reminds us of the beauty of the gospel regarding where we stand before we are blessed. And it's just what I've been talking about. It's this free gift of grace and mercy. He says, we are dead in our sins and trespasses and walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of power of the air, which he's referring to Satan. And then he goes on and says, we're children of wrath. It's our state before we are saved. It's where everybody is. In Romans chapter 1, I've referenced this many times, it tells us due to rejecting God. Why are we rejecting God in Romans 1? Because our sins suppress the truth. Our sinful natures and ways suppress the truth. And it gets to the point where we reject and reject. And guess what? God turns us over to these horrible, worldly, wicked ways. And we're lost. And we're condemned. And we're going to be judged. And as we think of repentance, because that's what we're focused on, to repent, I just want to make note, and I didn't count this, but I mean, I did a little bit of research. There's at least over 70 verses that reference repentance or the act of turning away from our sins. It's probably close to 100 or whatever, but at least over 70. In the modern church, which my millennials, I think, you listening might be sitting in these churches, and the modern church continues to deceive its congregations by saying things like you have Jesus in your heart and you have all his blessings, but nothing about our sins. Don't talk anything about our sins and where we stand and what happens to those who don't repent and turn. I have Jesus in my heart, but you're still living in sin. And I'm going to go a little political on you. You still support the pro-choice belief system of abortion. You believe it's okay to support gay marriage and transgenders. I heard Biden say just recently, we're almost at an election, and Joe Biden had said a question that was asked that he believed there was autonomy for an 8-year-old child to choose that if she wants to be a boy or a boy wants to be a woman or a girl and be a transgender. This is a perverted nation. This is, you can't be a Christian and claim Christ and have these, support these matters. It just doesn't work. It is nothing what God approves of. It's wrath that comes upon generations that think like this, perverted generations. You're in these modern churches with people that have Jesus in their heart, but they don't know the gospel. They don't read the Bible. They haven't even opened it up. They don't even know what it means. They don't even know what the gospel is. So one, how are they saved? Because faith comes through hearing. Through hearing of what? The word of Christ. Or you hear, I have Jesus in my heart, but I have to do good things. I got to go do good works, good deeds to keep my salvation, to keep my ranking with him, to keep up with God, to keep a relationship with God. You know, we learn the Jews, the fight that Paul had is they, as these people were hearing about the gospel, it was like, hey, man, I believe in this Christ, but man, we got to still be circumcised. We still have to have this thing we got to do, this tradition. And that's not the gospel. It's not what saves. Or how about I have Jesus in my heart, Jesus loves me, but I still sleep with my boyfriend or still sleep with my girlfriend. Or I'm living with my significant other and I'm not married. Folks, the gospel and the hand of judgment of Jesus Christ, he's not all love. He calls us to repent of our sins, our perversions, our lustful hearts, our evil minds, to put our faith in Christ. And folks, it's not a gray area. And I feel like we put Jesus and all this into some gray space. It isn't. It isn't gray whatsoever in the scriptures. It's black and white and non-negotiable. And as John the Baptist said in Matthew 3, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right now. The gospel message is both good news and bad news. And folks, I just believe the more we read into this and understand that the bad news of the gospel is, although so many don't want to hear it, so many people are offended by it. I get it. They don't want to be judged or told where they're going to go or told what's going to happen to them. But folks, it's in the scriptures. It's right here. I'm holding it. It is what it is. The gospel is offensive. But it should be a motivator for us as Christians to share the truth with our friends in the world and family members and all of that. It should be a motivator. Because as John the Baptist says, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Judgment is upon you. It's just a matter of when. And I just want to share what Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For those of you who don't know the gospel or haven't heard the gospel and are learning it through these podcasts and these episodes or other places, but the gospel is what all that matters. You know, all these churches, I'm seeing authors coming out with books, and I'm gonna teach you about the calling and how to take God's calling to the next level, and they're writing these man-made books. I'm like, we don't need your book about a calling on our life as Christians. We need the Bible to tell us that. The Word of God speaks to us, teaches us. The Holy Spirit teaches us everything Jesus shared and taught, helps us to understand. We don't need pastors who don't share the gospel, who don't share hardly the good news or the bad news, to self-help us and motivate us through their man-made theology, which is no theology at all. So I will share this. Romans 1:16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I feel like the modern church is ashamed of the gospel because they don't share it. Because it's good news and bad news, and mostly the bad news offends. And man, we don't want to push people out of our congregation. We don't want to push the goats out of the congregation. We want to starve the sheep, but we don't want to push the goats out. We don't want to say the hard things that they may not come back. I'm not willing to take a stand. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Not sort of believes. Not kind of believes. It is the power of God for salvation who believes. And those who don't believe, and those who reject God and reject the gospel, are children of wrath, dead in transgressions, suppressed the truth of their sinful ways, and the judgment of God's hand is upon them. So I leave you with this. Paul, not ashamed of the gospel, Nor should we be. Nor should anyone who's a believer in Christ be ashamed. Well, that's it for today. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for being with us. The repentance is critical. And if you haven't done it, I urge you to do it. And please, please, please understand the time is now and there's urgency. And I just challenge you to continue to learn the gospel, know the gospel, and be prepared to share the good and bad news, and don't be ashamed. All right? Hope you have a great week. God bless you. We'll see you next time.